Amen. Isaiah chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3. What a blessed promise. May God give us grace to receive it. Verse 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, fixed, cemented on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Dearly beloved, as we enter further into these latter days, of which both Paul, Peter, and Christ, even the Old Testament prophets, spoke of, and as these perils increase against the church of God, beloved, great vigilance and much prayer is essential for the true believer if we're going to endure unto the end. It sounds almost like a paradox, don't it? Especially if you know and believe and embrace the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign, and He truly is. God rules over all things, and He truly does. If God's going to preserve us, and He truly will, then why is there a need for vigilance and watching and praying and enduring on the part of the believer? Because God has set both of these things together. And what God has put together, let no man put asunder. God is sovereign. And God will preserve His people. And yet at the same time, God says that we must be vigilant, watchful, and prayerful, especially in perilous times, that we might endure unto the end. Our Lord Himself said in Matthew, those that endure unto the end shall be saved. That's a fact. That's not a condition. That's a fact. Those that do endure unto the end shall be saved. Well, who shall endure unto the end? Well, of course, it's God's elect. Those whom God has truly saved from sin and given them a new heart and a new mind, and they've been born again, they shall endure unto the end. And yet, vigilance is necessary and essential on the part of the believer. And yet, he must have no confidence in the flesh. But his vigilance, dearly beloved, must be found in his drawing all his strength from the Lord and from the power of His might. There's where our vigilance is. Not in the confidence of our own flesh, but our vigilance must be found in drawing all our strength and all our power from God. We must learn in prayer to dwell in the secret place of the Most High, according to Psalm 91. Prayer is dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. It's not an occasional visit, a prayer over the meal, a prayer before I go to bed, but dwelling, it says, in the secret place of the Most High, spending time with God, opportune time, quality time, much time with God in prayer, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, and abiding within the shadow of the Almighty, according to Psalm 91. All these things, and even more, is throughout Scripture uttered over and over again, encouraging the believer who's received a true work of grace to be diligent and vigilant if he's going to endure unto the end. We must learn as God's people to renounce all trust and confidence in ourselves, while trusting in the faithfulness and the infinite wisdom and sovereign power of God. God is faithful. He's wise. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I have no fear. Trusting in His wisdom to guide us and direct us. Trusting in His faithfulness to keep us. Trusting in His power to strengthen us. And in doing all that, he's got to learn by faith that though the earth be removed, Psalm 46, though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, listen to the description, the earth be removed, the mountains carried into the midst of the sea, Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, we must learn that God is still our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. It's amazing that in these first few minutes, all these verses that I've quoted from God's Word, quoting those verses and seeing the majority of professing believers today, you think either they don't understand these promises or they've never felt or known the comfort of them. Many professing believers today are filled with fear and anxiety, confusion and doubt and dismay. From the newest believer to even saints of old, older preachers are beginning to lose faith and confidence in God. Weren't running around as like chickens with their heads cut off, if I can use that phrase, not knowing what to do, doubting God's promises, all the time knowing that they're there, realizing that the Word of God speaks such truths, and yet those promises give them no comfort. Beloved, we should never be content with just an intellectual sense of God's Word and His truths. The psalmist says, though the earth be removed, the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, though the waves thereof roar and be troubled, mountains shake with the swelling thereof, God is still our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Beloved, along with these perilous times, God says in Hebrews He's going to be shaking things up. He's not talking about earthquakes. All these things taking place in the world today is shaking the very souls of men. And it's affecting even the very elect. And it should. It's shaking everything that we believe in. Proving if our faith is genuine and real. Proving whether our faith is anchored in the promises of God. Anchored in Christ, who is the author and finisher of our faith. These things are all for that purpose. God is shaking everything. And I fear many professing believers have come to the sad realization that their faith isn't as strong as they thought it was. And that can be a good thing. Because once we see that, then we'll know where to go to increase and encourage our faith. But I believe at the same time, it's also faking all those hypocrites who profess to know Christ, yet deny Him and works, proving themselves to be fruitless and barren. And the shaking's not over with yet, beloved. God has just started. We think things are tough now. Hold on, because God ain't even finished yet. There's going to be a whole lot of shaking going on, and that's not the song. Yet God has provided His children with every means of grace we need to be able to endure unto the end. But much vigilance and prayer is required if we're going to be able to endure unto the end. It is possible to possess assurance and hope in the midst of such perils and troubles. And we have it revealed here in verse 3 of chapter 26 of Isaiah. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on Thee, because he trusteth in Thee. Beloved, herein lies the very key which alone can open up such divine blessings of peace, assurance, and hope in the midst of these perilous times we're facing today. And beloved, I want to show you this morning how important it is that we possess this peace, that this peace is ours, because we'll otherwise never be able to endure. You know, I'm getting ahead of myself, but you know in a time of war that it's those soldiers who are able to keep themselves, keep a sound mind, not let themselves get disturbed by what's going on. You know it's them who keep themselves, who are going to respond correctly and probably survive. Those who are frantic, don't know what they're doing, and begin just running off in every direction, will get themselves and others killed. But a soldier who keeps his mind, who has some element of peace in his heart and his mind, he's going to be able to think more clearly, react more swiftly, and be able to respond more swiftly because he's not frantically losing his mind. So we need to have or know something about this perfect peace of which the prophet speaks of here in Isaiah 26 if we're going to ever have hopes of enduring unto the end, because everything around us is chaotic. And beloved, it's going to continue to be chaotic. I was telling the sister before services, before I began here, the last few Sundays have been kind of hard for me to stick around. It seems like I always got to run back to the home and fix something. And I told her, I said, I don't blame that just merely on people. I believe there's satanic work here involved as well. It's always on Sunday. Somebody calls and tries to hinder the service, get my mind on those things instead of preaching, or break us up from fellowship. So I realize that there's more than just simply human influence here. There's a satanic influence as well. And we've got to always be reminded that He's always working. Always. Even in the smallest thing. Smallest, seemingly insignificant, smallest matters, Satan will sneak in to get a foot in the door. We've got to be able to have this peace. This perfect peace, if we're going to endure. And we find it here in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Notice first of all this morning, real quick, who it is that keeps him in perfect peace. Notice who it is. Verse 3, Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. This is the blessed anchor of verse 3. I'm glad it says, Thou, referring to God, will keep him in perfect peace. If I tried to keep myself in perfect peace, I'd keep it about a tenth of a second and I'd lose it. But he says here, it is God Himself who promises to sovereignly keep, that's preserve, maintain, and guard the believer in perfect peace. He said, I will keep you in perfect peace. Now, if God is keeping that, let me ask you a question. Who is able to overcome God and destroy that peace? If God gives me or you peace, a perfect peace, and He's sovereign, and nobody is strong enough to go against His will, angels, demons, devils, human beings, circumstances, places, events, even sin, nothing is more powerful than God because He's sovereign. If God is keeping me in peace, who can take that peace away? Who can disturb that peace? The logical answer is nobody. Again, that word keep is almost a military term. Just like, and the peace of God will keep your heart and mind in Philippians. Same thing. It's a military term. Guard it. It's like He's putting a garrison around it. God says, I'll keep you there. I praise God. This God who keeps me in peace. It's not me. It's not a positive persuasion like the psychologists and psychiatrists say. You need to think positive about yourself and life would be better. You know, if you tried to find something positive in the Bible about mankind, you'd come up with very little. Because there's very little in God's Word that says anything positive towards man. He's a sinner. He's vile. He's wicked. He's ungodly. He's no good. That's why psychiatry hates the Bible. Look, we're in Psalm 29. Psalm 29, verse 11. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Thank God it is him and not me. Psalm 29, in verse 11. Look at this. The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. See that? The Lord will give strength unto His people. The Lord will bless His people with peace. You see how the psalmist yokes strength and peace together? For with true peace comes strength, confidence, courage. You know that? When you and I are peaceful in a troubling situation, it's like I said with the soldier, we tend to respond differently. We keep our heads. We can think better. We can respond better. We're not so rash, to make decisions. It's hard for fear and anxiety to enter in when I've got peace in my heart, especially this peace which is God's and it's perfect. We'll look at that in a minute. Especially then. And that's why it's strength and peace are put together. The prophet Isaiah said it best. He said, "In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." In quietness and confidence. Well, what's quietness? Peace. In quiet and confidence shall be your strength. And when peace, this perfect peace, beloved, when God keeps us in that, it enables us to see our situations in a completely different manner. You tend to miss things when you're not peaceful. You know that? Remember the Lord when He was on the Sea of Galilee with the disciples and the storm came and He called out for the storm and it said there was perfect peace after that? And I'm trying to imagine that, but you're on this boat, and I mean, it's not just little bitty old waves. I'm talking about waves that crash into the boat, possibly almost turn the boat over if you don't direct it right. The winds are blowing. I mean, it's dark. It's at night. And he calls out, and there's immediate calm and peace, and the sea just settles down, and there's a quietness to it, and the boat just sits there, just real quiet on that sea. It's just so peaceful and quiet. There's confidence and strength when our hearts and minds are kept in peace. The peace that God sovereignly works and keeps in His people, according to Isaiah 26. I'm glad He keeps them, ain't you? Thou wilt keep them in perfect peace. I'm glad He's the one keeping it, and not me. But that peace He keeps us in, perfect. Perfect. There's no flaws. There's no weaknesses. Our peace is often mixed with fear. You know that? There's just seasons of peace. Oh, I feel peaceful. And it doesn't take much, does it, for something to come in and destroy that peace. We can be peaceful one moment. We wake up this morning. Everything's fine. Something happens. Boom, our peace is disturbed. Get a call from the nursing home. Electrical problem. Need to come now. Our peace is quickly disturbed. But His, because He keeps it, it's not only sovereignly kept, but it's perfect. Perfect. No flaws, no weaknesses. It's an inward peace. It's an outward peace. It's a peace with God. It's a peace with our conscience. It's a peace at all times. It's a peace in all circumstances. It's a peace in every place. It's a perfect peace. It covers everything. Not just one area. It covers everything. Perfect peace. This is the peace we need in these perilous times. This is the kind of peace that gives His people strength and hope and confidence and assurance. This is the kind of peace we need to endure unto the end. And only God can keep us in it. We can't keep it in ourselves. It must be kept by God. And you know, this is exactly what the world knows nothing of. You know, the Old Testament prophet said, "There is no peace, saith my Lord, unto the wicked." He's like a troubled sea. Why did they compare them to a troubled sea? Well, what's a troubled sea do? It never rests. Never rests. And when it's troubled, it brings up all this mire and all this dirt and everything else. You know, you ever seen a river after a good rain in the mountains? In Colorado, some of them rivers, you can look down and you can see the very bottom of it when on a clear day, when there's been no rain in the mountains. It's just beautiful. But let rain happen in the mountains and it kind of rushed down that river and it just kind of goes left and right in turmoil. It brings up all the dirt and all the muck and everything. You can't see nothing. It's muddy water. That's what the wicked are like. They have no rest. No rest at all. Peace gives us rest. And in rest there's strength and confidence. And this is the kind of peace God keeps us in. It's a perfect peace. Perfect peace. Our Lord said it Himself in John 14. "Peace I leave with you. I'm leaving you peace. My peace I give unto you." You know what's the difference in that phrasing? I'm going to leave you this, and I'm going to give you mine. Peace, peace, wonderful peace, flowing down from the Father above, sweep over my soul. Wonderful song. I'm going to leave peace with you because you live in a world of turmoil and tribulation. But I'm going to give you more than that. I'm going to give you my peace. I'm going to leave you this peace. I'm going to give you mine. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. The world's peace is different from mine. That's what he's saying. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. This isn't the peace the world has, which is vain and empty and has no power. It's not consistent. No substance to it. Let not your heart be troubled. Maybe let it be afraid. Why? I'm giving you my peace. Oh, beloved, the greatest peace Christ gave us, and I'm sure you can follow my train of thought with this, is the peace He gave us with God. We were at enmity with God. At enmity with God. The wrath of God was above us, ready to cast down upon us. And Christ comes in and pays our sin debt and reconciles us back to God. And the peace of God floods our souls and our conscience. And we realize with blessed assurance that I now have peace with the Almighty God. That's the peace, dearly beloved, that is the greatest peace of all kind. And that's eternally in Jesus Christ. Peace with God. You know, when I look at these tsunamis, when I look at these catastrophes, these natural catastrophes, I often think how powerful God is. And that's nothing for God. Don't forget, in Noah's day, 40 days and 40 nights, it rained. And I mean, they had tsunamis and tidal waves. I mean, it wasn't just slowly water rising and people slowly drowning. I mean, there was tidal waves and tsunamis and there was hurricanes and all these type of things. Tornadoes, everything cast upon man. It destroyed everybody. The whole world. When I think about these natural catastrophes, I think God is a powerful God and He can do whatever He wants to. And yet because of Jesus Christ, I have peace with this same God. You know not the thoughts that I think toward you, Jeremiah. Thoughts of peace and expected end. My peace I give unto you. Christ's peace. What a wonderful inheritance. Understand? I'm going to leave peace with you, but I'm going to give you my. You know what it is to lay your head down at night after you've meditated and prayed and thought about the peace of God which is in Christ Jesus? You know, one of the advantages of working with elderly people, one of many, I believe they're more of a blessing to me than I will ever be to them. But they've come to the point in life to realize really what is essential in life. They've had everything we have. They've had homes and riches and wealth. Maybe some not, but they've had all of that to a certain degree. And now they're in a place in life to where they're confined to a wheelchair, confined to somebody helping them. They're not dependent anymore, many of them. Somebody has to literally, actually feed them. Some of them on the verge of Alzheimer's, who kind of feel they're trapped in their own body. And just the simple things of life make them happy. You know that? Just the simple things in life. You fix a sink. You unplug a toilet. You walk by and sit down with them and talk for a few minutes. You bring them a candy or a Coke. Those things they enjoy. They've come to realize that the essentials of life, just the simple things in life make them happy. And we trouble ourselves every day over things that are not essential and not important. My job, my money, my house, my car, my bills. You ever hear it on and on and on again? And we trouble ourselves with these things. To truly know the peace of God is to be content with whatever state I'm with. Paul says, I am content in whatever state I am. He gives us His peace. Well, who does He give it to? God keeps it. It's a perfect peace. But who does He give it to? This, and I'll close with this. Whose mind is stayed on me. You remember when you first met your wife? All day long, that's all you spend about. All your free time you spend on the phone. When your mind is stayed on God, in other words, what he's saying is, those that constantly think and dwell on God, he stayed on God. He remains on God. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed, fixed on thee. And that in a good way. Thinking all the time about the goodness and grace of God, how wonderful he is. People wouldn't be complaining so much if they spent more time thinking about God, but we don't spend enough time thinking about God. We spend more time thinking about our problems and our situations and our circumstances rather than God. And therefore we miss this whole thing of peace. And it's amazing how that peace works in your heart and mind. I was telling the people in the Bible study on Friday, and also yesterday in the nursing home and here in Holiday Hill. But every morning when I go to work, at this time of the season, the sun's just coming up, and it's always a beautiful sun up. I mean, if there's clouds up there, it's orange and it reflects off. Beautiful sun up, wonderful, beautiful sun up. And I could enjoy that for 30 minutes while I'm driving to work, and I like that. And I was thinking the other day when I was driving to work, all these cars passing me, driving with me. I'm thinking, how many of these people on this road this morning have noticed that sun? And took time to thank God for His goodness, His grace, His glory, His majesty. God hung that sun in the sky. God is the one that raised that sun. Isn't that what the Bible says? He raises the sun up on the just and the unjust. How many people that morning, or every morning, take time out to look at the creation and thank and praise the Creator? Probably very few. People do not know how to enjoy life. Especially if they don't know Christ, they can't. But we should. In the midst of all this turmoil, don't forget to look at our Lord's examples. Look at the sparrow. Look at the grass, He said. What are you worried about the things of today? Didn't He use the sparrow? He said the sparrow's up there singing away. He's not worried where he's getting his food. The grass groweth. He's not worried about how it's going to be clothed. Are ye not much better than they? This is what the peace, that perfect peace that God gives us, produces in us. It doesn't take away the trials and afflictions. They're still there. But there's peace within us. And that's what is precious. To be able to say, there's storms outside, but there's peace within. There's a Southern gospel song that has something to that intent. If He doesn't calm the storm outside of me, He calms the storm within me. And you know, many times it's that calming of the inward storm which I desire more than the outward. It's lasting peace. God is the God of peace. Christ is the Prince of Peace. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of Peace. You think God wants us to have peace? I think He does. Because when we have peace, when we have this perfect peace which God keeps us in, beloved, we'll be able to praise God in every situation and circumstance in life. We'll be able to know what it is to rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. We'll know what it is to finally enjoy life as God has given us. Trusting in His wise bestowment, I have no fear. Every joy and sorrow follow from above, traced upon the hand of His love. That's what peace does. Peace looks at everything and says, my God's sovereign. And everything has its reasons. And all things work together for the good. Amen. Trust in the Lord. Thou will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusted in thee. May God give us grace, that he might keep us. Thank God he does the keeper. In peace, in that perfect peace. But he gives it to those whose minds are stayed upon him. God give us grace to keep our minds upon him. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness and your grace. We thank you for this perfect peace. May we know more of it. May you, dear God, I pray, help us to experience more of this sovereign peace in which you keep those in whose minds are stayed on thee. Oh, Father, there's so many things in this world that seeks to draw our hearts and our attentions away from Thee. Help us, dear God, in the hectic things of life to take time to meditate and think about the things of God. May we learn to dwell in the secret place of the High and Lofty One. And may we learn to abide under the shadow of Thy wings. Father, we pray, grant us grace that we might know more of this perfect peace, that we might live a Christian life with more confidence and assurance, courageously, for Your honor and for Your glory. Bless us now, we pray. Bless this food we're about to partake of. Bless the fellowship. We love You and we thank You for all things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.